It is the first episode of the M-Take. I am Melissa, and I'm joined here by my glowing, radiant beam of sunshine bestie,
Michelle.
Hello.
This is the first episode. Here we are.
So technically, the second episode. We've released a first one in conjunction with this one. So go back if you didn't listen to that. That is episode zero, and you're going to learn what to expect. A little bit about who we are, just a little tiny intro, but this is our real first episode of the M-Take.
It's exciting.
So excited.
It's really exciting. We have a lot to say.
A lot to say, a lot to share, and a lot to take on.
So much to take on. What are we taking on? What are we taking on today on this episode?
We are taking on everything, Mel. Mm-hmm. Everything. Because as we mentioned last time, our plates, they are full.
They're beyond full. They're falling over. They're overflowing.
Exactly. Exactly. So we got to take it on. And actually, speaking of that, do you remember S Club 7?
The transition. Obviously. Would you like me to sing?
Yes. Please sing. Please sing.
Why don't you dive in? Because I don't want us to get off track just this early on.
Exactly.
S Club 7. Yes, I sure do. S Club 7.
So after this episode, not just you, but all of our listeners, you're going to go to the YouTube or to the Spotify, and you're going to type in, bring it all back to you, S Club 7. And let me tell you, if you need a little boost in the mood, put on this damn song because you'll be feeling your 2000 self. I'm just going to read quickly the first couple lyrics because it was like a boost that you weren't even ready for, but you just know you needed.
Wait, I'm pulling it up right now. Hold on one second.
Pull it
up. What is it?
Bring it all back. S Club.
Is this the one? I just have a vivid image of them all in white with like earmuffs on. Is this the one?
Not the one I was thinking or picturing of ever. I know what you're talking about, and that's hysterical. I need to fact check which song goes with the white earmuff situation.
Were they not all in earmuffs? I don't know. I just have a bit. Bringing it back to bring it all back.
I can't hear it.
Oh, you can't?
And he sets out.
Wow.
I know. Don't stop. Never give up. Hold.
You can hear it.
When the world is on your shoulders, just smile and let it go.
Wow. This is the energy we're going to start with today.
Exactly.
All right. Well, it's, obviously,
listen through this episode, we're going to tag them. We're going to let people know. Just listen. Listen to those words. It will do more for you than you ever thought you needed. So you're welcome. You're welcome.
Wow. Thank you so much for bringing us back to bring it all back. That there is nothing like, I can't stop penning it, but a song that brings you back.
Exactly. Exactly.
And honestly, it brings us right into today.
Exactly.
Because what the M-Take is about is really bringing us all together. It's about creating a space so you feel less alone. It makes the invisible visible. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all. There's nothing that's not on the table. And it's really just like, what are the things that we're taking on? What are the things that are weighing us down or mm-hmm. that we're carrying with us, whether we feel great or we feel bogged, whatever it might be. And a huge component of that and making this a space is getting feedback and hearing from everyone around us and mm-hmm. and taking in what it is that everyone else is taking on. But because we have not launched yet, because we're recording these ahead of time, and then we're going to do a little launch very soon, we don't have the engagement yet. So rather than coming on here and just talking about our perspective and our lens, which is going to happen, we really did want to crowdsource a bit. And as one of my friends said, in a very Family Feud-esque way, we honestly just went around and asked some of our friends what it is that they feel that they're taking on when they look out to the week, to the day, to the next few hours. What are those things that maybe creating a sort of mental gymnastics, as someone said. So that is what we're going to be chatting about today. And last night, this is why we were getting this feedback back, and I was getting so pumped up, and I'm texting you, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so crazy how everyone is coming back with, which we'll get into, but like the number one thing, like 98% of the responses was this one thing that just seems to be stressing everyone out and really just creating such a load for everyone. And all I could think of in my head was, we're all in this together from High School Musical.
We're all
That's right. Okay, ready? 3, 2. We're all in this together. And we know that we are. We're all stars. And we see.
We're all. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I just got the dance moves. I don't got no voice for you.
You know what someone said to me the other day at work? She has an incredible voice. Incredible. And she was like, oh, my voice is a little sore. My husband and I and my friend was visiting, and we like sang so much karaoke, and it was so great. It was so fun. I was like, first of all, why can't I be a part of this fun little party that you're having? But then I was like, you know, I wish I could sing, blah, blah, blah. I can't. She's like, I'm sure you can. I'm like, no. Trust me, I cannot. And she's like, oh, you know, I've always wished that I could paint. And I was like, that's because you can sing. No one who can you can't sing is like, I wish I could paint. I'm sorry to all the painters out there. It is a true art. I'm not minimizing that. But no one that can't sing wishes they could paint.
Yeah. No, that doesn't go. That doesn't go.
No. Everyone wishes they could sing. Everyone. That's the first number one wish. I mean, maybe that's just me. But...
Oh, no. I think about how great it would be if it sounded better coming out of the tone, the vocal cords.
Just imagine just being able to strike a tune. Or honestly, I truly believe my life would be different. Like, I'd be, those people that can sing and don't do anything with it, nothing grinds my gears more.
It's like standing on a stage, just like singing Cruel Summer. I can't even fathom what that would feel like.
No, me either. Me either.
It's all encompassing.
I know. So anyway.
Anyway.
We digress.
We're
two
back.
Two truths, no lies.
Two truths, no lies. You're up.
Two truths, no lies. Okay, so last week, Mike went away, or almost 2 weeks ago, he went away for a guy's trip. It's something that we find very important in our relationship, that we still get our guy and our girl time back.
Yes.
I did a girl's trip back in October. It was wonderful. And even, you know, the dinners, the coffee dates, whatever it might be. But this going away, and our husbands even have talked about this, and I remember Ryan saying this, that without creating new memories as a group, it's really hard to continue. Like, you can nourish that friendship, but without those new memories, those new core memories, you fall into that habit of just like, oh, remember that one time? And that gets old, right?
Yes.
So creating space for these new memories is such a gift. And it's something that we both want to prioritize in our relationship. So he left Wednesday morning, came back Sunday night. When I tell you, it was not a perfect week when he was gone. Things happened, you know, there was doctor calls, there was early pickups from daycare, there were commuting days. It was not the perfect week. Everything didn't go as planned, but we remained flexible and I felt really good in the moment, right? There were times where it was like, oh, I feel bad. You know, I want to be able to not go to the office tomorrow because of her diaper rash, and I feel stressed because I don't have that option. But those are things that are going to happen whether or not Mike's here or not, right? Yeah. And I felt flexible and I didn't have to tell him about it and make him feel guilty that he wasn't here. He got home on Sunday night and there was 0% of me that was like, here's the baby. I felt so good.
Yes.
That he enjoyed, that I enjoyed, and just this sense of pride of, wow, like, this is the done goal.
Yes.
As we talk about, like, us living our lives to the fullest while still having.
Mm.
36 hours later, I had a like level 185 meltdown. Hormonally induced PMS in the moment, you know you're being crazy, but like you just can't turn it off because it's so real. And it's just, I was a dragon.
A deeply feeling mom.
Oh, a deeply feeling mom was I ever. I was a deeply feeling dragon. I really, I wasn't even a mom. Like I was a dragon. And I was breathing fire. And anyone that came in my way was demolished. And it happened two nights in a row. So my two truths, no lies with this was I was just so disappointed because the things that were coming out of my mouth really were bringing Mike to a place of feeling like, this doesn't feel good. I feel like I shouldn't go away because you seem so stressed and overwhelmed right now. Oh, but that's not the, like that actually is exactly what I wanted to avoid. And I authentically and genuinely did because I didn't feel that way. And it is so frustrating that on the other side of this, just because of my hormones and having a stressful week, then it's like almost negating those 5 days of success and flexibility and perseverance and resilience. So it was just like such a dichotomy and such like a stark contrast.
Yes.
So what it brings me to in a very long-winded way is two truths, no lies. You can be proud and you can be vulnerable at the same time. You can be okay and you can get this and you can be on top of the world, but you can also be vulnerable and say, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have really avoided a lot of what happened last week.
Yes.
And I could say, hey, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that you had such a great trip and unwind and catch up on Sunday night. But then wake up Monday morning and be like, hey, I need you to go to the grocery store. And I didn't do that because I felt like I needed to further confirm that I had everything under control.
Right.
So you can be proud and you can have your shit together, but you can also be vulnerable and ask for help at the same time.
Yes, I love that. It is so important to ask for help, and it's really hard to ask for help.
So hard to ask for help.
Not a strength for me. I'm not. It's hard for the reasons that you just said. Like, you want to remind yourself that you can do it.
Correct. And there's a sense of pride when you can, right?
Yes.
That I did that. I wanted to and I did it.
Right. Exactly.
And it, for whatever reason, if you're asking for help, you're not accomplishing it on your own. But why do we have to accomplish it on
exactly.
our own?
Exactly. And in fact, perhaps the true pride of it is saying, I need help.
Exactly.
And stems from there. Wow. Well,
how about you?
Oof. Mine's a little bit of a pivot from that, but again, like, and inspired by what you just said with, like, the flexibility in the moment, right? So framing the situation, my husband Ryan takes the train into the city 3 days a week, and we drop him at the train in the morning, and the boys are in the back. Yeah.
So you get everyone in the car. In the morning, at what time?
So we get in the car at 8:32 for the 8:46 train. So we add in the buffer time. We add in the time just in case there's a little big feeling moment. We do our best to add it in. Mm-hmm. However, that's our goal. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. 3 days a week, right? So we get to the train and we have our little routine, and it's actually quite adorable. I feel like it probably could be a children's book at some point, parking that thought. Mm-hmm. When Ryan gets on the train, he shines his flashlight like this so we can see where he is.
Oh my God.
And he waves it, and the boys in the back, they get so excited. There's Dad, there's Dad. And then to make it even more exciting before school drop off, which is 10 minutes after this.
Okay.
There's a bridge in the town that we go under and the train goes over. And we try to get to the bridge in time to see the train go over the bridge. And Ryan still shines his flashlight.
Oh, my God.
And some days we get to see the flashlight. There's Dad. There's Dad. However, the past couple of days, we haven't made it in time. There's been traffic. There's been a school bus. And it allowed me to give the language, especially to my 3.5-year-old, of, you know, if plan A doesn't work, then we go to plan B, right? That's just the way that life has to work sometimes. And this morning, I'm priming him like, well, remember, if plan A doesn't work, we go to plan B. We might see Dad with the flashlight. We might not see Dad with the flashlight. But there was no traffic this morning. We get there. We see the flashlight. We're so excited. The little babies in the back clapping. It was so great. And I still even use that moment like, you know what? If plan A doesn't work, we go to plan B. But today we had plan A, and plan A felt so good, right? Plan A felt so, so good. And then I was in my mind, like not talking. The boys are still cheering in the back. And I was like, you know, I like the way plan A feels way more than plan B. Well, my two truths, no lies. I'm preaching, if plan A doesn't work, you go to plan B. Plan B, we can do that. We can be flexible. But honestly, like, I really like plan A so much more, too.
I am obsessed. First of all, that is the cutest thing I've ever heard. And it, like, almost makes me emotional because it is such Ryan and Michelle Unger thing.
The flashlight on the trip.
It is just, like, and anyone that knows you guys and is listening to this is smiling or laughing to themselves because it is the cutest thing. It is so wholesome. And the mental and physical gymnastics that are involved in the timing of that, most people would never even try. Like, I'm still stuck on the fact that you guys all get in the car to go catch a train together. Like, that is, Mike's riding a bike to the train station.
That's pretty impressive, too.
No, he's not. I'm saying if we were you guys, he would be. I'd be like, there's no way. There's no way.
Oh,
like,
man.
You guys are a vision. No, I'm just kidding. I would
some
try
days,
to work, but
that's just, some days are better than others. We had a tantrum about socks this morning, but we still made it to the train, right? So
yep.
You got to take it as it comes, like, irrespective of what is on the plate at that moment, right? And if plan A doesn't work, go to plan B. And I really, really like plan A.
I think such a big component of all of that is parenting in that way.
Yes.
Is having empathy for your child. Yeah. And that sounds so obvious, right? Well, of course I have empathy for my child. But I think it's hard to sometimes because you're
totally.
Like, okay, but I just need to move. We need to move on to the next step.
Exactly.
And calling out what you're calling out right now enables you to have more empathy in that moment because it's like, I like plan A too. I like plan A better than plan B too. And but like, you know, I have a few more tools in my toolkit not to have a meltdown if we don't see the flashlight.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's hard, right? Like, talk about taking on everything. It's hard to know that your children are growing up into their grown selves by watching you all the time. Like, that's a heavy lift.
Yeah, it sure is.
A really heavy one.
It sure is. It's something I'm acutely aware of all the time, especially having a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens so quickly how much they can retain and can form habits around or even just recognize or pick up on energies. And I can't imagine once, you know, they start talking and everything like that. So it's extremely powerful.
Yeah. In a beautiful way and in a scary way. And again, two truths, no lies, bonus one.
Yeah.
It's just you inherit that part of motherhood, personhood, parenthood the second they come out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it further congeals as they get older. And as you said, as their opinions show and you realize, oh, I have to be the one to teach you that or tell you, you know, this is how it works and this isn't how it works. So it's just a heavy, heavy lift. But it makes me think about what other people are also taking on, knowing that these are the things that we're always thinking about. And it's so easy to assume, like, we must be the only ones to be up late at night thinking about this as a shower thought. And we're not, right? We're not.
We're so not. And that was the intention of this episode, was, you know, talk about what is everything that we're taking on, right? And what are the balls that you're constantly juggling? Mm-hmm. And how many balls can you actually juggle all at once? And the answer some days is a lot more than others. Mm-hmm. And for as much as everyone had their unique situations, and there are so many factors that impact everyone's unique situation. There's the obvious resources.
Yeah.
Support, whether you're working, whether you're not working, for whatever reason you're working or not working. There's so many things that we can call out as different factors as to what you have to juggle every day.
Yeah.
What I found so fascinating when we were Family Feud style crowdsourcing.
I wish I had the music come in right there.
And you know what? It might be helpful. I think it could be helpful to know what exactly was asked, right?
Let's quote it.
So, what was exactly asked via this request? It was non-obligatory favor. When you think of what you have to take on for the week, what's the first things that come to mind? With the exception of one person. And this was on their list. It just wasn't their first. Meal planning. Food shopping. Mm. And cooking. Mm. Was the number one response. And everyone can relate to this, right? Like,
totally.
You're listening to this and you're same.
Full-blown
everyone
restaurant.
Everyone can relate to this.
Full-blown restaurant all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
But I think the larger umbrella of that is we have automated processes that, like, yes, you have to wake up. You have to pack the bags for school. You have to get yourself ready for work. You have to cook breakfast. There's the things that you have to do every day.
Yeah.
And for every one, they're going to look a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Then there's the things that you have to do every mm-hmm. week or every day. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it's a chore versus an automated process.
Yes. Yes.
Why is meal planning, food shopping, and cooking dinner that for so many people?
Yes.
Why?
I just to get a little nerdy for a second, because you know that's where my brain goes.
Yes.
In the education world and special education world, we call this system of processes executive functions. It's your brain's CEO, and it's one's ability to organize, plan, manage your time, forward think, your working memory, like all of those things get compounded when you're stressed. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense, because food planning and meal prep, all of that fits under that umbrella that you said and that I got nerdy about with the executive functioning system that everyone has. It's wild.
And if you think about whether it's the week or the day, mm-hmm. when are you green? When do you go to yellow, and when are you red? For me personally, I am green first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
That is when I am ready to take on whatever I need to take on. That is when I feel most equipped to take things on.
Yes.
And then slowly throughout the day, it's very linear. I go from green to yellow to red. And by the end of the day, I cannot do executive functioning. I cannot do anything outside of what absolutely triage needs to be done, because my brain is done.
Yes. Yeah. I would
the
agree.
Week looks the same way.
Yeah.
Monday, By the time we get to Friday, she's on red.
Yeah.
She needs her weekend to recharge. And if we're overpacked, by Sunday, I am at negative 100 red. So the idea of the meal planning and the prepping and looking out to the next week after a long week and a long weekend, it is so taxing and just so overwhelming to think about that.
Yes. Yes.
And the fact that you have to do it every week.
It doesn't.
And every day.
Forever.
Forever. That's the other part of it, right?
Right.
It's not a project you're crunching on. It's not a deadline you have to reach. It is every single week over and over and over again.
Yes. You know what's funny as we're talking about this? Like, talk about making invisible visible. I love to cook. It's just something that I enjoy doing. And I never really understood until right now, like, the heavy lift that meal planning takes. Like, it's hard. It's crazy hard. But making it so visible in this moment, it's bringing other things to consciousness of like, oh, that's why maybe I'm feeling a certain way. And I'm sure I'm not the only one to have that experience and talking and thinking about this too.
Well, that's extremely poignant because this might not be your first answer, right?
Yes.
Where it might be time and time again for many other people, if you love to cook, that's not your first answer.
Right.
So number one, I'd love to hear what is the first thing you think of when you think of these things? And then also, I want to go into some of the other things that people had mentioned aside from meal planning.
I think my answer to that is what I mentioned before actually is connected to my two truths, no lies, knowing that my little incredible humans are learning to be humans by watching every single action, every single word, every single thing that's happening is really, really big for me. And taking that on just is never ending. So that feels like a lot. It's more philosophical and visionary, but that's like top of my list, right? And then to make it even concrete with the meal planning, I'm like, oh, that's on there too. And I think it's just a never-ending checkbox.
You can never be off.
Never.
What you're explaining is you can never be off.
Right.
Because they're constantly looking to you. So what does it look like for you, the difference between, for example, let's say it's the weekend, it's noon on a Saturday.
Yes.
What is the difference between how you feel in that moment versus how you feel at 8 p.m. that night when you and Ryan sit down on the couch?
Yeah. There's more gas in the tank. What you said before about morning being green, you know, middle of the day being yellow, end of the day being red, totally resonated. There's more gas in the tank. And I'm able to sit to make my lists, or at least try to make my lists of, you know what? What's in front of me is the list. And the visual stimuli around me that I see, that I feel the urge to have to do in that moment, I'm gonna speak to that and I'm gonna say not right now.
And this is at night, you're saying. This is once they've gone to bed.
Yeah.
This is what's going on in your brain.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to leave the tipped over ball pit out on the floor because I want to sit on the couch with my husband and watch a movie that I'm going to fall asleep at in, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Right, exactly. But I'm going to leave it there and I'm going to say to myself, and that's okay.
You can be off now.
I can be off and I can turn the switch.
Deserve to be off, at least.
Exactly. Yeah. I have to remind myself that, as I'm sure so many people, you know, do. But just taking that one thing off and giving yourself the permission that the balls are going to stay on the damn floor for another day, maybe 2 days, maybe three. But you can turn off now.
Which, based on what you're saying, is so important and critical to you keeping your head above water, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because so that you can have a moment to be off and not being worried about, obviously, all these micro level things that you have to accomplish. But this larger thought of my children are watching me at all times.
Exactly. And I don't want them to be watching a mom who is frantically cleaning everything every moment. That's important. Mm-hmm. But what can we do together? maybe we can unload the dishwasher together or load it together. Yep. Not going to be perfect every time, but little bits and pieces. And those are choices you have to kind of make in the moment, which is also hard and exhausting.
So similarly, this is really what I struggled with mostly around 5-6 months postpartum was I'm just looking at all these micro tasks, the meal planning, the laundry, the this, the that, the cleaning up the bottles. But like I look at all of that and why I'm feeling overwhelmed, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas those things are overwhelming, mm-hmm. but there's this larger pressure you're putting on yourself to be the perfect model for your little humans all day, every day. That's actually likely overwhelming you.
Exactly.
And that is a one piece of the puzzle we can't ask for help on,
mm-mm.
right? We can't ask our husbands to take that weight off of us. We can't ask our in-laws, our parents, whoever our support system is, our girlfriends to take that. That is something we need to own. We need to name it, to tame it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And know that this is bogging me down a bit right now. I need to take a step back. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's very similar, but it's the... I'm acutely aware of my energy and how my energy may then dictate the rest of the household.
Mm.
And I don't want Sloan, Mike, my dogs, whomever is in our Ethernet, to be like mom's stressed, so we have to be stressed now. Mom's having a bad day, so everyone kind of has to tiptoe. Yeah. That is not something I ever want to be.
Yeah.
And as a result, I put a lot of pressure on myself, especially when we're around Sloan, to just be present, not worry about all those things around us. And to your point, if I'm cooking dinner or she's having a snack and I'm maybe cleaning up some things, we have music on. Mom's dancing. Yes. She's singing. And it's not to say it's always going to be rainbows and butterflies, because that's not realistic either. And that's not setting her up for success.
Or you.
Or me.
Right.
But this idea of like, we're not just going to sit on the floor and be playing all day long. That's just that's not the reality.
No.
But while you're having your lunch and I'm prepping stuff for dinner, we're going to dance. We're going to sing.
Yes.
We're going to do these things. And yeah, I have a lot of stuff that I need to get done to go to sleep. But right now that can wait. And I'm just focusing on the things right now that can't.
Right.
And a lot of that also goes to the letting go of perfectionism and choosing good enough in regards to any of it, right?
Exactly.
Good enough. Dinner will be good enough.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be perfect.
No.
The way in which I load the dishwasher can be good enough. As a perfectionist, that's something I have to practice every single day.
You mean all the spoons go with the forks?
Not a psychopath. Like, I obviously still do that. Like,
okay. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Like, come on.
that one, we're not taking off the plate. Yeah.
Let's be honest. I'm still separating colors in the wash, like in my delicate pile that I keep in my closet to attend to every 6 months. Like, come on. But of all those things that I'm still, having floating around, there's other things that I'm letting go and that don't need to be done perfectly. And I think that in addition to all of those other little things that we're taking on every day, every week, it's so critical to come back to what is the larger thing that's bogging you down.
Exactly.
And sometimes that's in check, and it really is the list, right? It is the list that's bogging us down.
Yep.
One thing that I really loved, this response, and then it made me think larger about, I don't love that there was only one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it 20 people, this crowdsourcing was. It might have been a little more than that. Of all those responses, I got one that the first thing that they mentioned was about themselves.
Hmm.
And it was scheduling her workouts for the week.
Hmm.
And then a whole list of things about her son's food for the week and his schedule, and then how are her and her husband going to navigate the logistics of everything for the week. But the first thing was, organizing my workout schedule for the week and like my schedule for the week. And as I think this is the first time we're saying this in today's episode, but this is a Dr. Becky fan podcast. Let's call it as it is. Motherhood is not martyrdom.
Yep.
And that is something that I think is so incredibly powerful and something I wish was talked about more because it is so ingrained into our society, into our culture. There's this martyrdom that is synonymous with motherhood. And to see her prioritizing herself was so amazing. And
goosebumps.
I just wish more people would do it, because if you're not prioritizing yourself, whether it's going to therapy and learning these big things about what's weighing over you, or just getting your workouts in, whatever you need, you are not going to be able to keep that ship afloat.
Exactly. And I think that's such a powerful thing to think about moving into next week. Like, what is something manageable and realistic that you can take and move to the top of that list for you? And for me, what's manageable? 5-minute arms class. I'm not talking about a 13.1 mile run. I'm talking about something I know I can get some task fulfillment and checking off and doing. But I love that. Think about for people, what can you take and move to the top? That's for you.
That's for you. Because think about, for me, I stretch every morning and every night before I go to bed. My red light mask is just part of my routine. Mm-hmm. And a few, probably a month or so ago at this point, I had another crazy meltdown because there was mud from the dogs in my room. And I couldn't sit on the floor and do my stretching.
Oh.
And in the moment, it seemed, and it was, a very exaggerated response to the dirt on the floor in the bathroom. But it was because it was like this 5 minutes at the beginning of the day and 5 minutes at the end of the day that I need to ground my feet into the tile and put on my red light mask and breathe and stretch for me. And if I've been running for 18 hours straight, but I can do this for myself, I can start my day that way and I can end my day that way. And the difference when I don't prioritize that is so profound. Mm-hmm. And I physically and I mentally feel it.
Yes. Yeah. And again, if your plan A doesn't work, you go to plan B and you figure it out to make it work for you.
Correct. Plan B, find another spot.
Yep.
Don't kick and scream like a toddler, which sometimes I do.
And that's okay.
But I'm learning. We're growing and we're learning.
Exactly. And the powerful thing about too is that most of these conversations are happening with you. With yourself. So talking back to those parts of you, right? And being able to say, you know what? Let me do something. Stretching, 5-minute arms class, having a cup of tea. That is so grounding.
Oh, yeah.
For just, again, 5 minutes at the end of the day when you can turn off. What does that look like for you?
100%.
And maybe this can be a call to action.
I absolutely love that. What are you doing for yourself?
Yeah. What did you put on the top of the to-do list for you? Let's make it concrete.
I love that. There's so much more that we're going to have to circle back on with this, whether it was just phrases, because we love phrases, like mental gymnastics, decision fatigue.
The big one.
Huge one. And some of the more concrete things that people said, I really think was so powerful. So we'll have to take to Instagram and put some stuff on there so that people can really download fully and talk about it. Please engage. Tell us what your thoughts are. Tell us some of the things that you're taking on this week and that in addition to what we're moving to the top of the list for ourselves. But this doesn't work without us all engaging together and creating the space where we can lean in and take things on for each other and for ourselves. And what are our mantras and think abouts before we wrap up? Because we're totally over on time.
Yeah, we're totally over on time. But I think we left with so many mantras today without it so explicit, right? Like, if plan A doesn't work, go to plan B.
Yeah.
Like,
don't stop, never give up. Hold your head high and reach the top. Let the world see what you can cut. Bring it all back to you. So taking that and putting it on the top of your to-do list, go listen to Bring It All Back.
I love it.
Club 7.
I love it. I couldn't go.
That's it.
We'll see you next time.
We'll
talk to you next time. We love you. Bye.